and welcome to AMO Kenzoku, episode 66. We are a group of four bubblegum crisis boomer otaku who wanted an excuse to talk about anime, manga, and any related subjects we find interesting. The Kenzoku are...
Hi, I'm Gun Tank Pilot Sam.
Hey, y'all, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm New Type Nick.
And I'm old type Dylan. This episode is being recorded on the 6th of March, 2025. And today we'll be taking a detour from what we said we were going to do last time of Ranma. One half, we'll push that off another half further. And discussing the brand new 2025 film, Kido Senshi Gundam Jiquak's Beginning. And with that, Hashin! So, this film is a editing of what was produced as the first four episodes of what will be airing in April, the new Gundam series, GQX, or GQ, and then six U's, followed by an X.
Weird capitalization, too, for that.
Yeah, with crazy capitalizations. Not enough to have stuff, and then you also have to have all the letters
I like
condensed.
How it's kind of quasi-explained in the film. Oh, maybe we should also do a spoiler warning, because I don't think we can talk about this at all without disclosing that, right? I mean, even the first 70 seconds of the film.
We will be spoiling the heck out of this whole movie. If you didn't see it in the theaters...
wait till April.
If you care, yeah, I guess wait till April and then come back and listen to this episode.
But, so is it the first four? I thought first three, but the length probably indicates four.
I think it's more like four. I read a thing just before this saying it was the first four
episodes.
Yeah, that
episodes. Makes sense. Because I feel like the first, air quotes, part feels like two episodes.
Yeah.
So, With that, we will definitely get into spoiling the heck out of this whole thing. So, raise your hand if you were like, yeah, Gilgamesh, when Char showed up.
I let out an audible WTF. I mean, our theater was not very large, so, and was not very filled, to be honest. So, yeah, I honestly thought... For a split second, we walked into the wrong film, because we went and saw kind of an art house theater close by, and they do a lot of the more, you know, film festival-y and a lot of the anime stuff in my area. So I remember earlier we were looking through some of the digital programming, and it had Char's Counterattack as one of the movies. And my wife was like, what's that? Like, oh yeah, that's part of the mainline, like, Universal Century Gundam stuff. That's not what we're watching tonight. and proceed to Char, which I knew we didn't walk in, because obviously it was you know, I guess the classic look Char, where Char's Counterattack is a number of years later. But yeah, I was not expecting this to be what I saw at all for the first, let's call it, 50, 60 minutes. So yeah, big.
So you saw this with your wife?
Correct. I originally was going to go by myself, and I said, hey, I'm going to go see this random Gundam thing. You want to come with? And she was like, yeah, why not? And I was like, okay, cool. So it became movie night for us. And
oh, nice.
So has she seen any other, like, UC or other Gundam properties?
She's seen bits and pieces of many other Gundam properties. Her first, just like many of red-blooded Americans, is Gundam Wing on Cartoon Network. And then she branched from there to, you know, random stuff. A lot of it from clubs, so a lot of it non-UC, a lot of it alternative, you know, stuff. So like 00, and then we saw some of the OVAs. So, you know, she's seen War in the Pocket. She's seen 8th MS, which is technically, you know, standard timeline. So
okay, so she's seen a good amount of
stuff.
Yeah, I would say
for somebody who used to be a big time weeb and then kind of fell out, she's seen an okay amount of Gundam. So she definitely seemed confused, but she was like, this music and these characters look really old. I'm like, yeah, about that.
That was wild. So
that's...
I gotta say, though, for that, for just first off the cuff, the fact that they reused some of the classic 0079 Gundam music with, like, yes, the trumpets and stuff, I was like, man, I was vibing to that, like, big time.
That was so good.
The immersion was threw off when he found the Gundam and it was fully CG. But, you know, we'll just talk about that later, maybe. But just the overall feeling, everything, like, it looked like Char Aznavour with a fresh coat of paint, like, after, like, a restoration job. And I was all about it.
Oh, and with the music, also the sound effects were just so perfect. 70s vibe. Oh.
I loved it when they played, that they included in the part where Sayla shows up, that they played the Texas Colony theme, which is probably, I would put that theme song in, like, one of my probably top 10 anime song, like, background music pieces ever. I love it so much. It only plays for like 5 seconds, but I love that piece. So, to be fair, I saw this movie in the theater twice, and then in between that, I was curious, so I started rewatching. Actually, I had not actually seen Gundam TV. I've watched the movies, the original trilogy movies, many, many times, but I had not actually really watched TV. So I started watching TV to be like, huh, how is this, like, the same or different from what they did for these parts here? And it's so cool because it is so expertly taken from the original TV, and you just have one change. And the one change is Char's intuition to go on the investigation to Side 7. Because in the original TV, Gene is down there, and they make references to all these characters' names, and it's not important that you remember them, but if you know them, you're like, oh, that's that one there. Okay, cool. So Gene was originally the one who was there kind of in Char's role, but Gene was a rookie, and the other two that were with Char were in the same positions they were. And Gene in the original TV pretty much says and does the same thing that Char goes to do. He just fails at it.
Because he's not Char.
Yeah, he's just not quite as good. He has the same instincts, and I think it's actually nearly the same lines where, like, you know, translating and paraphrasing, but that Gene in the original TV says, well, what, Char made his career off of taking action and stuff, so I'm just not going to sit here and just do this as a recon mission. No, they're going to forgive me if I get this done and destroy all of this stuff. And then Char is very similarly like, no, we're going to take some action here. Like,
yeah.
And then there's like so many of the little subtle things that are so interesting that are cues back to original TV and stuff where, like, Char goes over to the Gundam and is like, oh gosh, these engineers are a bunch of chumps. They left the thing unlocked.
Yeah.
Which is literally
makes a little snide comment about the name, like, Gundam, what an ostentatious name. Like,
yes. Yeah, and there's which is also exactly what happens in the original one too. The difference in the original is that Amuro is there, and he finds the manual and then he gets in it, but it's the same thing where it's unlocked with the thing. There's no comment of Amuro saying, like, oh, why is this unlocked? That's weird. But that's one of those things where you get someone who has thought about Gundam for, 45 years. Like, Anno and Yoji Enokido and Sudermaki, who have thought about it, like, and had probably many, many drinking nights talking and discussing about minutiae of the stuff. And, hey, why wouldn't they have it locked? And they put every single little minute detail and thought into it in a way that works and adds in without making that part of it overly confusing. At least that's my opinion.
I will say, like, all of that stuff was great, but boy, the pacing of that first chunk is just whirlwind. And I was kind of maybe like halfway through, I kind of figured that they're going quickly, intentionally to kind of get this out of the way. And like a lot of this stuff is not important that I didn't have to know it, but a lot of like fan service and making sure, you know, there's people see characters that they knew about and seeing what was different. But boy, that was pretty intense and tough. Like just, it went real fast and full yeah. on.
Yeah, I think I'm the biggest UC fan amongst the AMOs. So for me, I was just nerding out the whole time on every single little micro detail of everything they had in there. I'm like, because every single little reference and everything there was perfect.
So then,
that's what I figured.
I have the question. I agree.
Yes.
Don, you're comfortably the most hardcore UC Gunota in the AMO for certain. What were your thoughts on Char not being played by Shuichi Ikeda?
I was actually going to comment earlier. I liked the person they had do Char. I thought he did a really good job. I thought he had the Char vibe. Was a slightly different, but it wasn't... I didn't feel like it was jarringly, at least to me, it didn't feel jarringly different, and I didn't feel like, oh god, what is this crap?
See, I felt the exact opposite. I was one, I would say, criticism I have of all of this. First and foremost, I freaking loved this movie. It was, I didn't really have expectations, but whatever they were completely blown out of the water, despite having, I would say, valid criticisms to make. This is one. I was really surprised. When you talk about iconic characters in anime, like, when you talk about, like, a Mount Rushmore of, like, these are pillars in all of anime history, a strong argument can be made that that Char is one of them. And he is, to me, completely and utterly tied to Shuichi Ikeda, who is still active. He's still voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
So... I was really surprised that they did that. I don't know what happened, if they didn't approach him, or maybe he decided to decline because he was busy. I don't know. But whatever the situation may have been, I was astonished that they moved forward with a different voice actor. That was, I would say, the only major thing that really irked me about this, about G-Quox. Otherwise, I didn't see nearly as much of the nuance as you did, because obviously I'm not nearly as, I would say, savvy in the OG Gundam stuff. But I would say, yeah, the changing of Char's voice was probably the one major, I would say, no for me.
How do others feel on that? Did you notice? Were you aware that it was a different voice actor? Did it just sound like, oh, this is fine, or feelings?
I wasn't that tuned into the voice actor. I mean, if you asked me, I could recognize that it wasn't the same, but I didn't even consider that they would use the original. So, like, yeah, I don't, didn't even notice, I could say.
Which is good. I mean, yeah. That's probably...
I would say I noticed a little, like, enough that there were a couple of moments, I can't remember what they were, where I just found myself going, well... This sounds kind of like Char from a shaving commercial.
Yeah. So that's fair. That was, yeah. And I'd be curious as well, like if or whatever, like if Amuro were there, would they have someone different for him? Just, and it could also have been like intentional, being like, no, this is like the normal thing, but we also want to set it slightly differently with like this one other choice where it's like, okay.
That's totally valid, because obviously this is, I would say, I guess I'll pose this question to you primarily, but to everybody else. Have they ever done this with UC Gundam where they've done a complete alternate timeline, for lack of a better description? Like, I can't recall doing anything. Everything else they've made that's been established UC canon has more or less been, has happened, right? Rather in parallel or in sequence, it's all occurring in the greater Gundam UC universe in its existing timeline. Am I right there?
The only thing that I could say is Gundam The Origin, which is manga and anime, but that's also that the manga is done by Yas, the original character designer and animation director and director of the Gundam movies. So it's not, I mean, that's kind of like saying like the EVA manga versus EVA TV. It's like, they're both, there are slightly different, and it's a newer manga, so it expands in some other places and stuff. But so that would be the only one I would say. It's kind of like that alternate universe, slight different retelling of stuff.
I wouldn't call it slight. I mean, this is substantially different.
Well, no, this, right?
Yeah,
this one,
this is this a hard is, fork in the timeline.
No, this one is a substantial intentional fork, as opposed to Gundam The Origin being like, okay, it's the same thing, just kind of slightly retold a little bit differently.
I got it. So this is definitely the first time they've done like a substantial alteration of the UC timeline,
as far as I'm aware. Yes. So if you can't tell from my voice and all of the thing, I'm fully on board with this. I think it was
it was great.
Oh yeah.
So we've got three. I'm curious. I'm just going to ask here. So Mike, what's your feelings? I think you just saw it tonight.
Last night.
Okay.
Yeah, 9:30 last night in a big auditorium that I literally had all by myself for some reason. So, and I was pretty damn impressed. I went in not knowing anything about it or even remembering that Kara was involved until I saw them in the titles and went, oh, right, that was a thing. And generally, when I saw the first part, I got, obviously the one moment of difference pretty quickly there and picked up where they let off and went, wow, this is cool. Like, yeah, my one was with the CG Mecha, but they did, as good a job as I would expect from Kara, I would say.
So let's go into the, let's take that as a intentional side into the mecha. It sounds like everyone's thumbs up on this was cool. So now let's start beating it up and finding the little seams and things and such. Mm-hmm. Mecha design, Ikuto Yamashita was one of the mecha designers, and then also looks like Seijun Kim as an animation mechanical designer. I don't know what other stuff. No, that guy has worked on a ton of stuff. Lots of different Gundam properties and things too. And Eva and Code Geass and tons of stuff. So
that's a lot of mecha stuff right there. So.
Yeah, a lot of mecha stuff there. So you got two of the, and Ikuto Yamashita is the mecha designer for Eva, and then a couple of other things. Apparently wrote the script for EP5 of Yuki Kaze. Interesting.
Okay.
Sure.
You went there from CG Mecha, so I'm curious if you wanted to talk about the CG Mecha or just the Mecha themselves, the Mecha designs, because you're talking about the designers. I mean, the designs themselves, okay. I thought were pretty great. The G-Quax that are, I love that design. The other ones were kind of standard, right? They're just...
Well, the RX-78 was completely redesigned. It was almost like it was in some... To me, it looked like what Char stole was in some sort of, like, state of still, like, mid-development, almost. Because... It definitely had a lot of the call signs of the original RX-78, but was... I don't know, it looked almost like it was missing some pieces kind of in the, like, chest cavity area. Looked very much, again, slightly incomplete, but still looked cool. Like, I was all about it.
Yeah.
And especially once they give it the red paint job, I'm like, this feels both sacrilegious and awesome at the same time. It's kind of like chocolate covered bacon. Like, it shouldn't exist, but I'm kind of glad it does.
I mean, it's not the only color. The first episode of Zeta Gundam, which is the second in UC, the episode title is Kudo Gundam, and the Gundam that they're designing and working on there is a black, painted black Gundam.
That's Gundam 2, right?
Yeah, effectively,
Mark, yes. Mark 2, I believe they call it. Is that the Mark 2?
Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff there. Shiatsuki and Mark 2 and all that stuff. But it is a black-colored Gundam. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, once they painted it red. And I think I kind of get what you're saying. Like, there's definitely parts where it feels like it was partially done there. The Zaku design and the overall motion, the way those things were all set up and built there, like, it felt like another really good iteration of taking a Zaku and, like, putting it into a more modern design context, and the stuff that you can do with 3D CG stuff that you just, you know, you couldn't do in 1979 on a very exceedingly limited budget and people drawing things.
Yeah.
I got some definite Yamato 2199 vibes as far as the updates of the designs while still being fairly true to them feel-wise.
What do you mean by that? Explain. I haven't seen that.
Just also one that takes very iconic directional character designs, in that case by Leiji Matsumoto, and turns them into, you know, modern, more streamlined, taller and more slender characters a bit, and with nicer animation than you would, at least more fluid animation than you would generally get in the late 70s. So kind of a similar update there.
Okay.
And it can look really nice if it's done right.
Yeah.
Like, I would not mind seeing a series that looked like that, though it would probably be impossibly expensive to produce.
Yeah, I was going to say that I was kind of hoping that they would go more the way of like rotoscoped CG, which is a thing that I see a lot these days that I think works pretty well. It kind of gives you the benefit of both of that hand-drawn look while not having to put in all the effort of, you know, hand animating in a mechanical design, which is, you know, obviously very difficult and not many people can do. But, you know, I don't think it ruined it. So all in all, giant mechas in space, as long as they don't have to interact with mushy things much, can work pretty well.
And yeah, I think that's my takeaway, is that, like, it definitely still looked kind of like the 3D CG parts of the Ever Rebuilds that weren't great. Mm-hmm. But because, again, a lot of it was in space and, you know, fast movements, and, you know, at least they were using the medium for what's intended, right? They were able to do, like, cool, like, you know, dynamic angles and cuts that would have been nightmarish to do by hand. So overall, I would say that while it was obviously 3D CG, because of the fact that it was all safe for the Gundams, I didn't mind it a ton. I think also I give it a pass because, let's call it post-isekai, that the newer character designs to me are like, yeah, these are nice. I like these.
Yeah.
So, one
that was cool.
Yeah. One tidbit that maybe we didn't go over, or maybe I missed, was, you know, we started with the staff a little bit, but did we mention the director?
No, we skipped over that.
Yeah, it was directed by Tsurumaki, correct?
Yep, director is Kazuya Tsurumaki, who's a one of the Gainax founders, Furikuri director.
Top two as well.
Sorry, that again?
Top two, Diebuster. He directed that as well.
Oh, but yes. Yep. Tons of other incredible... tons of other incredible work throughout his career on a million other things that are awesome.
And then founded Trigger after that, right?
Or co-founded, right?
Well, co-founded, yes.
Yeah.
But
when everybody ditched Gainax,
Yeah.
Okay, so he was one of the Trigger co-founders.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Him and Imai.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I don't honestly know if I realized he was a co-founder of Trigger, but hey man, good on him. Yeah. And has he I'm looking like he was supervisor on some of like the Furikuri stuff, but I'm like, and kind of a director, co-director on the Eva movies. I'm trying to see if there's like something else that was reasonably new that he's been a director on, and I'm not seeing it, at least on
I mean, the Eva movies aren't, well, I mean, they expand.
No,
like,
they're not old
years,
but
yeah, it's been a bit, for sure.
No, I'm just, it's one of those things where yeah, so you've got that, and then some other key people is that the script series composition is by Yoji Enokido, who wrote many great things, probably most well known for being the series composition and screenplay writer for nearly all of Utena, both TV and movie. Did a bunch of screenplays for Razaflon, did all of the screenplays for Gunbuster 2, did episode screenplays for a bunch of eps of Eva and the movies, and then stuff back more working with Ikuhara for Sailor Moon S and stuff. So one of those well-established people. And the other person who's involved in the scripts is a person you may have heard of who called Hideaki Anno. I don't know if you've heard of that guy.
Sounds like a bum.
Yeah. It sounds like a bum.
Some old guy who hasn't been around much.
Yeah. The bum.
Who probably got irritated that Yamaga beat him to it by like 3 decades.
Oh, you mean writing Gundam?
Writing for yeah. Gundam. Yeah.
Yeah, that probably bugged him.
Yeah, well, that's a hell of a debut, let's just say.
Yeah, and actually on that, I found a quote put out from X, from Anno on Twitter, saying, here's the translation as was given, saying, because the staff's energy and enthusiasm are so high, the visuals at the start of G-Quark's beginning may surprise you with its high level of fidelity. But in essence, we believe it is merely a new building we have constructed on the vast grounds that is the Gundam franchise. Rather than demolishing and expanding the main house, we think of it as an annex building next to it.
That's as we like are all, the most on-no answer.
Yeah, as we are all involved with the huge content and IP that is Mobile Suit Gundam, we aim to further revitalize and expand Gundam, create a work that will be enjoyed by more people, and try to pioneer a new direction with a different approach from what has already been done. With that in mind, I approached Tsurumaki about depicting a prequel section within a certain time frame. I hope you enjoy the theatrical advanced version, which is structured to run as a prequel in its entirety. Best regards. Comment by Hideaki Anno.
That comment made me think that Tsurumaki's involvement was mostly just the prelude stuff. I didn't pay
yeah,
too
I'm
much
not
attention
quite
to the
sure.
As far as I can tell, he's still credited with the TV series as well.
Yeah, I don't,
as are Anno and Nokido for the screenplay. So I think they all can, like, it all still coincides with the anime series. The staff doesn't seem to change, at least from what I'm seeing. It could probably be changed, but as based on the Wikipedia entry on it, it's split up into the anime film and anime TV series subsections, and the key staff all look to be the same.
Although there's no TV episodes out yet, so I don't know where they're getting the credits from for that. So.
Yeah, whether it's pre-crediting almost, or...
It'll be interesting to see how the visual quality holds up on TV versus the movie version.
You know, I will say, watching the movie, I wasn't super impressed with the visuals. I mean, they were high quality, don't get me wrong, but, like, I feel like that they were movie quality.
I totally could tell that it was meant for TV. Yeah. It was, like really good, high quality and high... like detailed art, but the animation was far from like some, you know, mind-blowing segments. Like, honestly, but all of the best like action sequences were done in 3D, right? And the rest was just decent art and cool. And I would say the character designs, for me personally, the character designs carried pretty hard.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
they were nice, easy to animate character designs too. So
yeah,
there wasn't a whole lot, but
that it's kind of the hybrid Neo Gainax Trigger style that. Looks really good without being like absurdly difficult to turn over. So
yeah,
and like the the I'll call them the clan battle bums, the team that recruits Machu. They definitely had that very much that Gurren Lagann vibe from them. I was vibing on that.
Yeah, kind of distorted and, you know, some super squat and wide and some super long and tall. So,
yeah, and I think that, you know, I think at some level that's always like a good sign of good character designs is to design them at a level that can be quality can be maintained throughout the product, which is, it's one of those things where like you see some people like, oh man, you get like they went so crazy on this and then it doesn't look like that. Like, I'm watching the new Gohan's show, the the Something Lily, Momentarily Lily, which I kind of like the show. I'm not trying to go crazy, but like you look at the opening segment of it and like the hair animation is insane.
Yeah.
And then you watch the show and like, frankly, it still looks pretty good, but you're like, this looks completely different from the opening animation.
Yeah.
Can
we talk about what the heck is going on?
Yeah, let's get to that part.
Because we've really only talked about the first half of the movie so far.
Well, my fear with this thing is that it's a multiverse thing, and I really hope it's not. I hope it is just a what if. But the whole like Shard disappears, and I fear that they're gonna go that direction. But what Ando's saying is also giving me kind of hints that maybe it is just an if what if story, which I think would be interesting.
I'm going more with the what if of like, hey, what if we change this? Like you said, like what if we change this one small detail that honestly makes more sense at the very beginning of the whole thing, which is that, yeah, why the hell would Char not go out like on this recon mission? Like of course he would go.
Okay, but what's with the disappearance? Then,
well, that is there are some different things that have happened by that time because Char never meets up with La La Soon. And they end up developing the Psycomu for the Gundam and for the a slightly different version of the Elymeth, which is the vehicle that Bull is piloting, which is what La La Soon is in original Gundam. And then Cassilia makes some comments towards the ends there saying like the Rose of Sharon, and that there was a test subject that was down in the lower regions of Granada that like disappeared when they had the Kavnada explosion that disappeared Char. So where Char went, I don't know. I have no idea what happened to him. Like, I have no idea why he's gone, why the Gundam is back.
Yeah.
And why does Shuji have it?
Yeah, why does Shuji have it? Who's Shuji? Why is he sniffing everybody? what's the weird
what's the robot he wears on his head?
Yeah, his weird Footy Cooty robot that he's got.
It looks like the thing, the little square robots from Die Buster, like a mini version of that.
I took it as the little Televi robot that I forget people's names. The main girl in Footy Cooty has, where she has it on a leash and it starts like eating everything and then gets enormous. It's like the giant TV monster one. It looked kind of like that to me.
Well, but either way, Tsunamaki's involvement in both properties.
It's fine. Like it's a cool design. But yeah, like who is he? Why is he sniffing everyone? How did he get all this stuff there? I feel at this point, and maybe it's also different perspective of different culture stuff, but I feel like doing some sort of like multiverse thing feels like just kind of like meh at this point, which I think is probably kind of your point.
Yeah, it feels pretty cliche to do now. Like that's not, it's been done.
Yeah.
Like
it'd be kind of a cop out too, right? Like commit to something.
Yeah.
Like that's what I want to see.
Consequences.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if they find a way to do Pat Labor versus Gundam, I don't care. I'll give them all the money. But
well, Pat Labor loses so hard.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Power, yeah. The power level
it
differential
gets a spaceship
is massive.
Or, you know, a colony dropped on it.
So you just have to play Super Robot Wars.
Unfortunately, Pat Labor never shows up there.
Oh, what? Oh,
yeah. They're not super.
They're hard. They're not even real enough. They're made out of paper mache. Like,
poor Ota.
So who was this? I guess Dylan may be the most likely person to know. There's a part where, I don't remember where it happens anymore. But there is a Gundam that appears to Char, I think, and there's a silhouette of a person in there. And
you're talking about
like
when he's inside of the Competo, right? Inside the giant.
Yeah. Yeah. That.
Yeah. And he's like, it seemed like we're supposed to know who that is, but I'm like, I don't know at all. So.
Oh, yeah. That's his sister. That's Artasia. He says that's Artasia. That's his sister, who is Sayla Bass from the original one. So she was piloting a modified gun cannon, they said, and she had the Super Smash. Hammer, and he also says at that point too that she's the one who beat and killed Dozul, which was the one of the Zeon, the giant super tough looking Zeon guy that Char was originally reporting to, because he reported to Dozul, and then when Dozul was defeated, his command shifted over to Cassilia.
This is one of those things that happened between scenes and the rapid fire nature
yes.
of everything.
Yes, and me and Anno and all of us other UC heads are like, of course, we just fill this in. We know.
Yeah,
we know what happened here.
Know.
Yes, but that's who that was. That was his sister, Artasia, who is also a thing. You know, in general, that was supposed to have been in the original version. You know, that's a slightly different version, but that, you know, that should have been Amuro there. But he's not there.
Okay.
But it's also completely reasonable that Sayla was there because she was already involved in stuff, in military stuff and things in the original Gundam. Like when that started, she was already kind of like involved in doing things. So it's reasonable that she would have been there.
So we have, where is she? Where is Char?
Yep.
And then lurking in the back of all of our minds is, where is Amuro? Like, he's got to show up at some point, or they've got to address it at some point, right? Or is he just going to be forgotten in this completely?
I think it's kind of cool if they leave him out.
My main concern, also tying into Sam's concern, is that basically the prelude, if you will, was there for like Anno to do his, you know, the one major thing. He's like, I you know, to make his point that I got to do something in UC, but then like it's just completely left as a giant like what if for the whole movie or rest of the series, and they never touch on it again. I don't think they'll do that because that's not the type of, you know, like writer that Anno is, I feel, but I wouldn't be shocked if they just kind of leave it be and just becomes basically, you know, Gundam Beyblade for the rest of whatever, how long this is. And I wouldn't necessarily hate that, but after seeing what they did with it and how they set it up, I would be shocked if they didn't try to wrap it up somehow. And again, you know, they're leaving kind of little breadcrumbs of this is going to go somewhere else, right? Like the fact that Machu seems to be a new type.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, or something, no, something capable of doing using the psycho drive, right? And I feel the guy that Char leaves behind, I forgot the character's name already.
Shalia Bull.
Yeah, Bull.
He's cool. He was a cool character. Great character design. Looked
and
really cool. Interesting.
I like that they had him look classic in like the before time, and then once they updated, it was still clearly him, but they kind of updated his look to fit in with the, you know, like multicolored irises that everybody seems to have in the world 5 years later. So
that was
maybe it's a side six thing. I don't know.
It was the style at the time.
Yeah.
There's so many other interesting things, and I'm seeing where they started with this. I am, you know, very happy with my vote for most anticipated at the Kenzokis for this. I'm like, oh my gosh, where are you going to go with this? And, you know, judging from previous things that Yoji Enokido has done, like who's the other head writer along with Ono, like a lot of those things get picked up and not just completely like dropped or forgotten about all the time. So I'm very curious on that. Like there's so many other interesting things too, of like Cassilia's alive. Mm-hmm. And she also knew that she called Char Casval. Yeah, there's so many other stuff. And then we get into the new characters and everything there, which is Machu and Shuji and Nyan. Which is just so adorable. I love it. What are people's? There's so much going on in this, and there's really so many things.
Go ahead.
I say, like, what are people's feelings on the what we'll call the main new trio? How do we feel about them?
I like them all right, though I don't feel like I know them well enough to have real opinions yet.
Yeah, I feel like they skipped the whole development portion of them, the introductory portion of them. Like, we just get thrown into, like, just like the rest of the movie. Like, it's so fast-paced. Like, a bunch of stuff happens, and all of a sudden, Machu is in a clan battle with her new mov of Shuji, who she literally met, whatever, the day prior. And like, I'm like, what is going on? Why is everybody so complicit here? I don't understand, but it looks cool, so I'll let it slide. I mean, Nyan has like maybe what, 5 spoken lines the whole film? Yeah. Like, she says hardly anything, you know, so she's not developed at all yet. We didn't even know that Machu's real name is Yuzuriha. Like, we just know that Machu's her nickname, but like, yeah, like the only reason you know her full name is if you look at credits. Like, so much is missing. I like the designs. Again, the designs for me carry a lot, like a lot. But yeah, hard for me to say. Hopefully, it doesn't get too, like, lack of a better term, like Beyblade-y, where it's just like a bunch of clan, like almost like Air Gear, where it's just like, you know,
sure. Battle of the Week kind of thing.
Yeah, and like, that's fine for a bit, but yeah. Like, I really want to make sure that they still stick with the whole, you know, underlying plot of, like, how did Shuji get the Gundam, and where the heck is Char, like, isekai'd away in the Kira Kira? Like, what's going on?
Have they announced, like, how long the run is for TV?
I don't see anything about how long it is.
Yeah, I was literally about to ask that same question. Like, is this going to be, like, a 12-ep show, or is it something? Yeah, who, the last Gundam series was Witch from Mercury, which was cool, and that got 2 seasons.
Yes,
so
I got a full 2020 whatever, 24, 26, so.
I would, yeah, say it's got to be at least that,
because because if this is the first four episodes, that's already a third of it,
yeah,
gone just to get everything introduced. So I don't know how they could possibly wrap it up.
Yeah, if it's done well, they could easily get 52 out of this one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this would be the first time where I'd be okay with Gundam going for 52 webs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the last one that I saw was Iron-Blooded Orphans, and that was a 52, and it used every episode to the fullest. So
I still haven't watched that one.
Oh, highly recommend it.
I know you've recommended that one quite a few times. I haven't.
I didn't realize, actually, I just found this out today when I was looking at it. That was written by Mari Okada, so she's very good. I, you know, to Nick's point about dumping you kind of into it, and I really liked that, actually. So, like, over the weekend, on Monday, I saw a movie. I see these random movies every once in a while, and I was kind of frustrated because I knew it was an action movie, and I knew what the action was about, but like, they spend like the first 30 minutes building to the action. It's like, I don't care about this stuff. Hurry up. Just get to it. Like, you're just doing this, just spending a bunch of time establishing things when I know where we're going already. Like, just get to it. So like, I kind of appreciate that, even especially after sitting through a bunch of like not quite recap, but, you know, a very fast paced whirlwind, like bringing us up to speed on how we got here kind of thing. And then the explaining what's different. I appreciate that they didn't spend a bunch of time, you know, establishing these new characters and just let them all hit the ground running. Because I thought that made it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, that's fair. It was definitely show, don't tell.
Yeah.
And you just start and you go and you're like, all right, you know, we'll either figure it out and it'll be cool, or you're not going to care anyways. And then you weren't going to watch the thing or care anyways. So
honestly, it's a really good approach if you're launching in a theater too, because wasting the big screen on, you know, minutes of people just sitting still and talking really doesn't get the impact that you're wanting with opening that way, I think.
Also, I do wonder if there is any influence from Oshinoko for this one. Maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but like we talked about with Oshinoko, like those things originally aired as, you know, whatever, like an hour and a half, first three episodes together all at once.
Mm.
Because
but with Oshinoko, though, like the first episode, like they didn't break it up, right? Like it stayed mm-hmm. a feature length movie where
sure.
it looks like they're going to actually air, you know, and compartmentalize, right? Like whatever. So I do see what you're getting at, but I mean, considering the planning for this started before Oshinoko, because it looks like planning started in 2018. So
yeah, maybe, but you could also make scaring decisions later than that, right? Like I'm not saying that it definitely did, but either way, it feels to me like maybe a similar choice at the very least. Of if you just put on the first episode is literally like, you know, the first 25 minutes of that movie, I don't think many people would be that interested, right, to watch more, at least not as many, especially when they're trying to bring in new audiences to Gundam.
Oh, for sure. I completely agree. I mean, same thing with Ocean of Grail. You said it yourself. Yeah. Like, if they didn't make the first episode of the movie, you would have pieced out, like, way before you got to the meat of it, and then never realize that wasn't the point of the show. Same thing. Like, yeah, people are like, I didn't come to watch this and watch Char in a Gundam. What the heck? Like, you know, people would have been confused, and especially newcomers, right? Because newcomers, there's all this information dump happening in a really, really fast, short amount of time. And, like, if people have no attachment to the, you know, classic 0079 timeline, then like they're not going to get interested. So I do agree. I think this is like a right call to make to get people invested quickly. It certainly worked for me because I hadn't thought about original Gundam in a hot minute. So this certainly made me think about it again.
Yeah.
See, for me, it's like the Roman Empire. I just think about UC and the Roman Empire pretty much every day, and just they're interchangeable with me.
I'm disappointed you spend time thinking about the Roman Empire. That's more time you could be thinking about UC. So,
well, there's comparisons between them, so you have to jump back and forth, contrast and compare.
Yeah, that's fair.
Especially with that point of the kind of the fast-paced info dump, which, it was cool. And that, like, it was very much of a showing, just being, okay, you'll pick up on what you pick up, what you don't. All right, mm-hmm. just move on. Like, don't bother. But it's one of those things, too, where, like, I think we are also not expecting it because, like, the key art doesn't betray any of that at all, and nor does any of like the initial
trailers,
like the promo trailer or paragraph or anything shows you any of that. So I think we're all kind of like, whoa.
Yes, it does. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Igare Zero does. Igare Zero had the same thing, except I wouldn't say the opposite, but yeah, it totally misled you on what the show was going to be based on the promo materials and everything they were showing. And then you see Epo and you're like, well, That was a bait and switch.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I first started, I was like, oh, this is what Nick was talking about.
Yeah, so it wasn't going to take long, right? Like, within the first 30 seconds, you're like, oh, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't mention that. It was a total surprise. That was a really fun surprise.
That was cool. That made it made it fun.
Yeah, for sure. I absolutely did not want to spoil that, so that's why I left my comment incredibly vague. When mm-hmm. I saw it,
yeah,
because I was like,
that.
Yeah, for sure.
I when I saw it the second time, and I put it in our our comments. I took down a couple kind of like minute note comments for where things fell, and just like I was just surprised at just how dense and how much stuff moves. But I think, you know, because the new stuff that's not 0079 is roughly from minute 33 to 77. Because that's, and like in there, I feel like that also moves really quickly. It's not like there's a ton of pause and exposition on things, which is good. Let's have less exposition. Let's have, yeah. And there was no level up overlays, which is weird to see that in anime. Like, how am I supposed to know if some? I'm making a joke from all of like the crappy isekai okay. level shows. Or like, if they don't have a level up overlay, how am I supposed to know they're getting stronger?
Right. Yeah. There's no stat box that tells you.
Yeah. No stat box. How am I supposed to know anything?
Yeah. Oh my god.
I have so many other questions and things I'm so curious about with this, where they're going to go. Because when Machu starts to get involved with the clan battle, I forget the exact details, but basically there was part of it where she's like, I can't back out of this because I'll get reported, and I can't get reported. And there's like a little like 3-frame pause of like some sort of ID sheet of hers with a bunch of like info redacted and stuff like that. I picked up on that on the second watch. And then I'm also so curious on Haro, because she gets in the G-Quux, and Haro's the one that unlocks the Psycom-U.
Which, can I say, that's a Rie Kugimiya, which I thought was interesting.
Kugami. Yep. Yeah, that's so funny. It's so funny, all the people that like do like the weird little Haru voices and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like, isn't Mitsuo Misato's voice actress?
Oh, Mitsuishi Kotono?
Yeah, who's also Sailor Moon. I think she's also Pikachu. Am I crazy?
No, she's not. Definitely.
She's not Pikachu, but there's okay. There's like something else where she does like just some random little like meh, meh, like character voice. So funny. Those. Yeah. Okay. So we are coming up on time for this episode. So let's try to give some more thoughts. If anyone has something else they want to beat up on or whatever, that's fine too. Because you gotta try and beat up on the things that you think are cool.
I'll be curious to see if the clan battle part lasts any longer than the equivalent part of Armored Trooper Vadoms, which also is pretty near the beginning of its series.
I have not seen that show. Is it one of those things where it seems like it's going to do that and then it veers away sharply?
The main character is kind of a person of interest, so the bad people, like, he needs to do the equivalent of clan battle. I can't remember the word for it, just in order to try and survive. And as kind of this group of misfits that follow after him for the whole series. But otherwise, it's very not necessarily Gundam, so I'll be very curious to see what parallels, if any, there are and aren't. Like, he attracts the attention pretty quickly of the people who he's trying to evade, and obviously the G-Quux has attracted attention pretty quickly, too, so... I can't imagine that the clan battle will last too long without being interrupted, particularly when it only had a 5-minute time limit to begin with, supposedly.
Which I do want to say, that is a really cool, I don't know what you would call this, not quite a plot device, but a way to kind of explain how these things work, which is like, these things have a time limit. Not because we just set that rule, but that's how long until the fight gets busted up by the cops, right? Like,
yeah,
right.
Essentially, exactly. It's like underground street racing for Gundams, and that totally makes sense.
Yeah, what I'm interested to find out is, hopefully they get to, is how do all these groups get access to these mobile suits? Because, you know, these aren't, like, handed out like candy.
And how are they hiding them?
Yeah, I mean, the hiding them definitely is also another thing, but...
Macross 7.
right. I guess just, you know, I guess we'll see. I mean, I think we're going to revisit this once the show actually airs and we start to actually see more. But, you know, if we can call this G-Quux the beginning as far as the episode goes. I will say, though, mecha design-wise, man, the G-Quux is like chef's kiss. Like,
oh, yeah.
They understood the assignment because it looks completely different. I mean, the red horns, the fact that it uses a heat hawk instead of a beam saber, like, a very deliberate choices that I think are really interesting. You know, interested to see. I mean, my big hope is that they actually bring in, you know, other elements from what would have been canon, you know, UC timeline into this, but from a different angle, because obviously, you know, with Char's intervention, Zeon got access to the Gundam tech, and now they could, you know, theoretically, air quotes, mass produce. So I wonder what the Federation, if anything, the Federation's, you know, counter to this will be, because I doubt the Federation will just fold over and, you know, die. Like the whole thing of, like, basically the story's turned topsy turvy because, you know, Zeon ended up winning the war. So, like, what's going to be the final outcome of all this is going to be real interesting for me.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, too, the opinions of newcomers to Gundam. Because, like, for us, who are familiar with, you know, at least even on a surface level, for people like myself, like, familiar with some of the details to where it's exciting to think about what's different, right? Like you mentioned, I hadn't even thought about before what the Federations might be doing. But that's another angle. It's like, oh, that's kind of exciting, right? Like, to think of the what-ifs that could be coming there. So, yeah, I wonder how much, quote-unquote, normies are excited about with this, if they are at all.
Yeah, hopefully they've built enough into the series that it will be approachable for the normies, even without all of the incredible amount of treats that they can be lurking for fans.
And if I know one thing, because it is Sunrise and they have to sell toys, there will be all kinds of new Gundams. There's got to be more than just G-Quux, right? There's got to be lots of new robot designs that I'm looking forward to seeing.
Mm-hmm. Well, if the Zeon have Gundam technology, that right there should lead to some interesting.
Yeah, give me some Neo Zakus, like some Gundam Zakus or something.
The Gunzok.
Gunzok, yeah.
Oh, man. I'm just like, are we going to get some sort of, like, new version of a Quebly or something like that?
Right, because they actually made the bits for
Char. They made the bits for Char's
Red Gundam.
For the Gundam. Oh, yeah. God, that Red Gundam was so cool. And then it sucked because Shuji gets the Red Gundam, but, like, he loses his bits.
Yeah.
I was so sad when he lost his bits. As another one of those random little things that I don't think doesn't need to really go somewhere crazy, but, like, the president or whatever he is of Side 6 is Cameron, who is Midra Yashima's fiance in original.
Oh,
I totally didn't catch that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, come on, guys. Get with it. Don't you think about the stuff all day?
Definitely not.
He's a political figure and stuff in original, too, and he shows up and he gets slapped in the face by Slegar. But it's all good. It's all in good fun.
This is all making me want to go back and watch original Gundam.
It's very interesting watching the TV, having honestly, like, not seen it before and just outing myself, like, watching that versus watching the movies and just seeing how many things were, like, changed for the movie versions. And in general, it was like they improved just a lot. Just lots of little things and stuff were changed there, and some of the wacky little, like, oh, Gundam trick of the week things were kind of taken out of the movie because it was like, it's not important to say that or have these weird little films and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the eye catch in Gundam TV. It's pretty good. I think.
Okay, well, I'll be the judge of that.
Okay.
Oh, one last thing I wanted to add, because I I will say that the preview we got for the I did confirm it, but the preview we got for the opening song, which is called Plasma by Yonezu Kenshi, that was a banger. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that opening's gonna be red hot.
Oh yeah.
And most of those songs are at least up on iTunes. Like three insert songs and like a 4-song soundtrack are all up on iTunes.
Awesome.
Probably elsewhere as well, I just assume. I don't know. Okay.
I want to dish one more, one criticism, though.
Yes, dish.
Since we haven't done enough of that, I think. Anno's statement, reading his statement on that you posted, the translation of, has me a little disappointed in him. Like, this guy acts like he doesn't control one of the greatest anime franchises in the history of anime already. Like, and here he is making an annex to somebody else's franchise when he could be doing it for his own. Like, I'm dying for him to just let somebody else make some spin-off Eva series. Like, I want to know what's going on with, give me an anime series about Jet Alone, right? The construction of Jet Alone, like, or some other weird stuff. Like, there's so much possibility, and it's just sitting over there rotting. Like, you know, the meme of the children drowning in the pool, right? Like, it's Ava sitting there at the bottom. Like, and Anno's up here atop playing with Gundam.
They're licensing it out to McDonald's.
What you're talking about. We've got a whole new alternate universe of Eva MacDu. It's a whole alternate universe.
Gundam gets this whole new series, anime series, and Eva gets some plastic Gundam toys and commercials from posts from it's great.
It's fabulous. Okay. Any other closing points from anyone? Questions, concerns? So, if you've listened to this episode and you didn't watch the movie, well, congratulations, you've played yourself the fool. And if you did watch this, then hopefully you had some fun listening along to our various machinations and thoughts, and hope everyone else enjoyed as much as we did, and really looking forward to the TV series to see where the heck it goes from here. So with that, I will say thanks for listening, and until next time, this is AMO Kenzoku saying Sadaba.